Anybody need a Bible? I got two of them up here. Anybody need a Bible? Y'all need a Bible? Here you go. Anybody else? Well, you might as well take two of them there. There's two of you. Here you go, Zim. Zim. This is Zim. Zimri. Amen. We're in Acts chapter number 4. Acts chapter number 4. Okay, in Acts chapter number 4, we've had a good service now, lots of good singing. Now, my job now is to keep from messing anything up, see? I don't know if I can do that or not, but I'll try. I'll try for a few minutes here. I want to talk to you this morning about, I'm going to take in Acts chapter number 4, verse number 13 will be a text verse, and it talks about being a bold Christian. If you're a Christian, and most of you are, you're saved, or you're going to be saved. If you're not saved, I hope you'll be saved today or real soon, that you'll accept Jesus Christ as your Savior. We ought to want to say something for the Lord, because He's been good to us. He saved our soul. He kept us from hell. He sent His Son, Jesus Christ, and so, you know, we ought to want to be able to say something for the Lord. And whenever the opportunity arises, and God will give you times, He will give you opportunities to say something for Him. He will put somebody in your path. He's put many people in my path. You know, if you'll pray and ask the Lord to help you, then you can be a bold Christian. I think we have some bold people. Some of our folks are bold. They're always telling me, I witnessed to this person, I witnessed to this person, and I witnessed to these folks. And that they're able to speak for the Lord. If you're saved, we should want to speak about the Lord. So that's what I want to talk to you about today, about being a bold Christian. A Christian is somebody who's saved, somebody who's accepted Jesus Christ. They're a follower of Jesus Christ. Doesn't mean they're perfect, but they have been saved and their sins are forgiven, like the songs says. Jesus Christ died for our sins on the cross. He was buried and raised from the dead. He is alive right now. He is alive. He is seated in heaven, the Bible says, at the right hand of God the Father. He will save all those who will come to Him, who will believe on Him. So we want to talk today about the boldness of the Christian. If you'll look in Acts chapter 4 and verse number 13, we'll read that. It says, "Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled, and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus." So we'll take that thought there, about the boldness, it says, of Peter and John. So let me pray, and then we'll go on. Father, we pray to You to help us today to be a blessing to Your people, and thank You for the privilege to stand here and to say something. And I pray, God, that You will speak to our hearts today. God, I pray that You'll instruct us and edify us, and that every person, Father, might be built up in the faith. And I pray that You'd help me to make it clear and plain. Pray that You'll bless Your words, and I pray and thank You for that. In Jesus' name, amen. So we're talking about the boldness of a Christian. If we're saved, then we should want to say something about the Lord whenever the door opens. The Bible says this in Proverbs chapter 28 and verse number 1. It says, "The wicked flee when no man pursueth, but the righteous are bold as a lion." The righteous are bold as a lion. I'm afraid I fall short. I'm afraid I fall short there many, many times. In this chapter, the people here that we're going to read the verses here in just a minute. We're going to read 22 verses down through here. The people are still in shock over the lame man that was healed in chapter number 3. We talked about that the last couple of weeks there. There was a lame man who was healed. And people are in shock about that. They want to know what has happened. The religious leaders, they don't want that kind of preaching about Jesus and the resurrection going on. And so they're trying to put a stop to it. You know, these disciples here, Peter and John, they're preaching about Jesus and the resurrection. And sometimes people don't want to hear that. They don't want to hear that. In the book of Acts, the Apostle Peter is prominent up to chapter number 12 because God is dealing with the Jews. And then as God begins to deal with the Gentiles, the attention goes to Paul for the rest of the book of Acts. Now, you might say, if you're new or something, and maybe you hadn't been saved long, or just don't know, you say, what is a Gentile and what is a Jew? A Gentile is anyone who is not a Christian or a Jew. That's who a Gentile is. Well, we were all Gentiles before we got saved, but if you're saved, now you're a Christian. Or if you happen to be a Jew is a descendant of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob over there, those Jews that live over in Israel. So that's a Jew. But God will save anybody. That's just a little bit of information there for you. If you'll look in your Bibles there at Acts chapter number 4, I want to read down through these verses, down to verse number 22, and I want to make a few comments as we go along. So we'll read there, beginning in verse number 1, it says, "And as they spake unto the people." Well, the "they" there is Peter and John, two of the apostles. I don't know where the rest of the apostles are. It doesn't say, but they're not there. "So they spake unto the people, the priests and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them." And verse number 2, it says, "being grieved that they taught the people and preached through Jesus the resurrection from the dead." So see, these religious leaders, they came and they did not want them preaching about Jesus Christ and the resurrection from the dead. Sometimes religion is the enemy of God and the Bible and truth and preaching. Let me tell you something, folks. Just a bunch of formal rituals will not help people. Just a bunch of, you know, going through things, rituals and things. They won't help you. People need to hear plain preaching from the Bible. Need to hear what the Bible says and what does God have to say about these things. And so that's what we ought to concentrate on, is preaching the Bible. But sometimes religion is just the enemy of these kinds of things here. And these people here in the story, they don't want to hear that kind of preaching. They don't want plain preaching. Going on, it says in verse number 3, it says, "They laid hands on them and they put them in hold until the next day." In hold, that would be a holding place. Maybe they put them in jail. "For it was now eventide." So they took them. And I never have been put in jail yet. But you know, there's a lot of preachers who have been put in jail. They've been put in jail for preaching, for witnessing, doing all kinds of things. I've knocked on many people's doors, hundreds and thousands of doors, but I've never been put in jail. I don't know if it's ever going to happen, but I pray that the Lord will help me to keep on witnessing and things like that. I pray that He will. It's getting harder and harder to do those kinds of things. People are not, they don't want to listen sometimes. And you know, when we talk about boldness here, we are not talking about being obnoxious. We're not talking about that. We're talking about just speaking to people and giving them the gospel being how that Christ died for our sins and He was buried and raised from the dead. We're talking about that, talking about witnessing to people and talking to them about the Lord. If people do not want to hear, then fine, that's up to them. That's up to them, you see, but it's our job. Jesus said this in Acts chapter 1 and verse number 8, "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me." Did you know that's the last thing that He said? The last command that Jesus said was that His people are supposed to be witnesses for Him. They are supposed to go out and they are to tell people. We are to spread the gospel. The gospel, the word gospel means good news. The good news is that Jesus Christ has died and buried and raised from the dead, and He is alive, and that He will save anyone who will come to Him. He will save them. And he will give them eternal life. It is a free gift. It does not cost anybody anything. Put your faith and trust in Him and not in your church, not in your religion, not in your goodness, not in rituals or any of those kinds of things. Don't put your faith there. But your faith must be in a person. That person is Jesus Christ. If you'll put your faith in Him, the object of your faith has to be Jesus Christ. And He will give you eternal life. It is called in the Bible the gift of God. Amen. Verse number 4. "Howbeit many of them which heard the word believed." You see that? They believed. What did they believe? They believed the gospel. They believed on Jesus Christ, you see. It says there they believed, and the number of the men was about 5,000. Man, now that is a bunch of people. 5,000 people getting saved at one time. Back over there in Acts chapter number 2, there were 3,000 people. 3,000 that were saved. Now then, here's 5,000. Man, that's in the city of Jerusalem there. There is now a church there with 8,000 people in it. 8,000. Plus others have been saved at different times there. So this is not just a few people standing around here. There is a huge crowd there with thousands of people. And they have heard the message there that Peter preached unto them earlier. Going on in verse number 5, it says, it came to pass on the morrow that their rulers and elders and scribes and Annas the high priest and Caiaphas and John and Alexander and as many as were of the kindred of the high priest were gathered together at Jerusalem. And when they had asked them, when they had set them in the midst, they asked, by what power or by what name have you done this? When they said done this, they want to know, how did this man get healed? Back over here in Acts chapter 3. How did this man get, what did you do to this man that caused him? You know, now then he's well, he can walk where before he was unable to walk. And we want to know what you have done to this man. How did he get healed? They want to know that. Verse number 8. That's an important verse. Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, ye rulers of the people and elders of Israel. Now you notice there, the thing I'm going to come back to it later. Peter's filled with the Holy Ghost. Filled with the Holy Ghost. Sometimes people think that's a strange word, the Holy Ghost. No, that's one of God's names. That's one of God's names, the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of God. God is a Trinity. He is one God in three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Sometimes He's called the Spirit of God. Sometimes He's called the Spirit of Truth, the Spirit of the Living God. The Spirit of God comes to indwell every person who is saved. God is the Creator, and can you imagine that the Spirit of God, the Creator, would come and live inside of human flesh? Man, what a thing that is. So he said, the Holy Ghost, Peter filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, ye rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day be examined of the good deed done to the impotent man. See, this man is called an impotent man. That is, he was weak and feeble and had no strength to walk. By what means he is made whole? He was made whole physically and spiritually, see, body, soul, and spirit. Verse number 10, Peter is speaking. He said, be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. Now you talk about someone who is bold. That is the Apostle Peter right there. The Apostle Peter was a bold preacher. Stop and think for a minute. Whenever they gave Jesus Christ a mock trial before the religious leaders, Peter was standing outside and he was so fearful, so afraid that he denied Jesus Christ. He said, I don't even know the man. He said, I'm not one of his followers, because he was afraid and he was scared. He was afraid of what they would think of him, or they would do to him what they're doing to Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ was condemned, and then they hanged him on a tree. But Peter was afraid there. But now then, several chapters later, he's standing before the very people who crucified Jesus Christ, and he's preaching to those people. He said, the man that you crucified, it was by his name that this man is standing before you whole here. You see the difference? How that before he was filled with the Spirit, before then he was weak, but now then he is bold. He is bold. You know what? Anybody can be bold. Anybody can be bold. Most of you folks know it because you've known me for years. But when I was a kid, I was so shy. I mean, you couldn't hardly get me to do anything. I would barely say anything if there was a group of people around. I wouldn't say anything. I was so shy. I mean, when I say shy, I'm talking about painful, painfully shy. One time in school, they wanted me to do something and take somebody's place, and it had to do with crowning a girl, I think it was, and it was something, one of the programs that they were going to have. And I remember I was so scared that I was just, I barely got that crown on top of her head, you know. And they, and I, and you know, we, I don't know if you kids still have book reports, but we have a book report, you know. And most of the time when it was my time to do a book report, guess what I would do? I'd just skip out. I'd skip out. I was so scared, so shy. I think I did one time. But you know what? God can change people. God can change people. God can change you. He can change me. I'm going to give you some things here in just a minute that will help you to be bold. Not obnoxious, not unkind to people, but bold to be able to say things for the Lord, for Jesus Christ, if He is your Savior. Verse number 9, 10, 11. I went through verse number 10. Verse number 11, look, it says this. This is the stone. Now, he's talking about Jesus. Jesus here is compared to being a stone. A stone. This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which has become the head of the corner. In other words, the leaders of the nation of Israel, they set Jesus at naught. In other words, they set him aside as being unimportant. They did not think that he was worth anything, and they set him aside. The Son of God came to die on the cross for these people, but they refused to listen to him, and they did not accept him. They crucified him on a cross. Of course, you know, he had to go ahead and he had to die on a cross. That had to be done. But it didn't have to be done by the Jews. Jesus himself is a Jew. He's the most Jewish thing you can possibly think. It didn't have to be done by them, but it was. He came to these Jewish people to be their Savior and their King and their Messiah. And they said, "We'll not have this man to rule and reign over us." And they set him aside as being unimportant. But now the Bible says there that this one whom they set aside has become the head of the corner, the chief cornerstone. Verse number 11. Verse number 12. What an important verse. I hope you've got this verse underlined and circled in your Bible in verse number 12. Neither is there salvation in any other. For there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Folks, let me tell you something. You must be saved from your sins. Otherwise, you will die in your sins and you'll have to go to hell and pay for them yourselves. Jesus has already paid for those sins. He doesn't want you to have to go and pay for them yourselves. There is no salvation, he said, in any other. There's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Now, verse number 13. Now, when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. That's verse number 13. Now, when he says there in verse number 12, there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved, that is a bold statement. And sometimes people think that Christianity is narrow. Narrow. I heard two famous preachers talking one time. And they said that God's mercy is wide, that it includes a lot of people. And they were saying this. They were saying that atheists are going to be in the body of Christ and all kinds of other religious people that don't believe in Jesus and have never heard the name of Jesus and all that kind of stuff. Folks, if that's true, then why are we sending out missionaries? If that is true, no, that is not true. Only those who are saved are born again. will go to heaven. God gives every person. Otherwise, he would be unjust. God is not unjust. He sent his son, and God's mercy is not as wide as people talk about. I'm gonna flip back over here to Matthew chapter number 7, and I'm going to read a couple of verses for you. You can look at it if you want. Chapter 7 and verse number 13 and 14. Matthew chapter 7 and verse 13 and 14, this is what he said. Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. See? Wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Verse number 14, because straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Listen, it is not hard to be saved. When he uses the word narrow there, he means that there is only one way. Only one way. There are not many ways. There is only one way. That's what Jesus said. In John chapter 14 and verse number 6, Jesus said this, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me. Amen. Man, what a bold statement for a man to stand up and say. He says this, look at me, I'm the only way to heaven. Well, that's true about Jesus. Nobody else could say that. Just one man who ever lived, God's Son. God's Son. Let me read through the rest of these verses. I must go on. Verse number 14, and beholding the man which was healed standing with them, they could say nothing against it. But when they had commanded them to go aside out of the council, they conferred among themselves in verse number 16, saying, what shall we do to these men? For that indeed a notable miracle hath been done by them. Well, I would think any miracle would be notable, wouldn't you? Any miracle would be notable. A notable miracle has been done by them. It's manifest to all them that dwell in Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it. So they're wondering, what can we possibly do to stop all of this stuff? Because this man is standing here. Verse number 7. But that it spread no further among the people. I'm sorry, folks. Christianity has spread over all the earth. Somewhere in every country there is some Christianity. It didn't stop there. But that it spread no further among the people. Let us straitly threaten them, that they speak henceforth to no man in this name. And they called them and commanded them not to speak at all nor teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered and said unto them, whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, judge ye. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. You know what he's saying? Man, we can't help ourselves. We've got to speak. We've got to talk about what we have seen and heard. Verse number 21, so when they had further threatened them, they let them go, finding nothing how they might punish them because of the people. For all men glorified God for that which was done, for the man was above 40 years old on whom this miracle of healing was showed. I'll stop right there. Let me give you some things. There are four things found in this text here that will help us and what gave them their boldness, Peter and John. Number one, let me give them to you and then I'll go back. Number one, it was the power of God in verse number 8. Number two, it was the power of their message. The power of their message in verse number 12. And then number three, it is the power of their relationship in verse number 13. And then number four, it is the power of determination, verse number 20. Let me go back. Look at verse number 8. How did they become bold? Verse number 8 says this, then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, ye rulers of the people and elders of Israel. You know what made Peter bold? That he was filled with the Holy Ghost, the Bible said, and I talked to you about that. He was filled with the Spirit of God. The Bible tells us as Christians this in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse number 18. It says this, be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. As I already said, the Spirit of God dwells on the inside, in your heart, of every person who is saved. He dwells there, but he needs to control every person. Not just to be there. Not just sort of be in the background. But he needs to be the boss. He needs to be the president. Some preacher said the Spirit of God is resident in every person, but here's the question, is he the president in every person? Did Peter know that he was filled with the Holy Ghost? He may not have even been aware of it. And you may not be aware of it. But to be filled with the Holy Ghost is to be controlled by the Spirit of God. And to be full of the words of God, that is to be filled with the Spirit. To be able to speak for God, a man, a woman, a boy, or a girl, to be saved and to have the Spirit of God in you. It's like this. If you've ever talked to people, those of you who have, you've talked to somebody about the Lord, it goes like this. When you speak on the outside, the Spirit of God speaks to them on the inside, you see. And if God doesn't speak to them on the inside, then what we say on the outside doesn't amount to very much. The Spirit of God speaks to them in their heart. And the Spirit of God is saying to them, that's the truth and you need that. That's the truth and you need that. Some of you folks, I've talked to you, and I'll bet you if I would stop and talk to you like Zimri here, he would say, what he's saying is you need that. That's what the Spirit of God does, to be filled with the Spirit, see, to be full of it, to be filled with the words of God, to be able to talk to somebody for God, to tell them the gospel, that Christ died for them, that God loves them. That's what made them to be bold, was that the power of God, you see. What made them to be bold, and how can you be bold? Number two is the power of your message. Everybody look here. The power of your message. Look in verse number 12. He says, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. The power of their message. Listen carefully. The thing that made them bold was that they were passionate about their message. Are you passionate about anything? Are you passionate about being saved? Or have you lost it? Has the fire gone out? They were passionate about the message, and that's what caused them to be bold, the power of their message. They were saved for sure, for free, and forever. In order to be bold about something, you have to have something that you believe in, that you believe strongly in it, you see. Otherwise, you have no need to be bold if you don't have anything that you're passionate about. You have no desire to be bold, see. Sometimes people as Christians, the fire goes out. They need to put more wood on the fire. Let me tell you something. Putting wood on the fire is your job. Putting wood on the fire. I think one of our men here, brother, I still remember a few days ago, it's about 2 weeks ago, standing right here praying over the offering and said, God, rekindle the fire. Well, see, that's your job to keep the fire kindled. That's your job. God has given you everything that you need. But people get cold. They get dry. And you got to put some fire on the wood. I mean, you got to put some wood on the fire. That's your job. And try to talk plain while you're doing it. The power of the message. Their message. They were passionate about their message. You got to have something that you believe in. Do you believe in it? See, do you believe in it? It's our responsibility to keep the fire going in our hearts, you see. Number three, what caused them to be bold and how can you be bold? Number three is the power of their relationship. Look at verse number 13. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men. Now when it says there, they're unlearned and ignorant men. That means this, that they were lacking in formal education. They had not gone to the best colleges and universities. They were lacking in that. And these people knew that they didn't go to college with them or the university with these people that they're talking to. They were unlearned and ignorant men as far as formal schooling goes. But they had one thing that will take the place of that, and that is greater than that, and that is faith in God. That's what they had. Again, in verse number 13, And when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled. And they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. You know what that is? That is the power of their relationship. You must have a relationship with God. Don't just say, I'm saved, and you never talk to Him, and you never read what He's got to say, and you never fellowship with other Christians or anything like that. You see, you've got to have a relationship with God. The most important thing in the world for a Christian is to have a relationship with God. The Bible says in Genesis chapter 5 about a man by the name of Enoch. And the Bible says there in verses 22, 23, 24, and 25 that Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. That's for every Christian, that a Christian ought to walk with God. Folks, we're all alike. We all get cold, especially me. And we get in the flesh, and we live after the flesh. And so we got to work on it. That's why you come to church. That's why you're supposed to fellowship with people, read your Bible, pray and talk to God and confess your sins, all that kind of stuff, you see. You need to have a relationship with God. Every person, young people, old people, men and women, a relationship with God, that you walk and talk with Him daily and fellowship with God. That's the power of their relationship, and that's why that they were bold. Because number one, they were filled with the Spirit. Number two, they were passionate about their message. And number three, they had a relationship with God. And these people looked at them and they knew that they were not college educated, but they were unlearned and ignorant men. Yet, they marveled because they knew that they had been with Jesus. They had been walking with Him for 3.5 years. They had seen Him lay His hand upon the leper and cleanse the leper. They had heard Him preach on a ship to people, to great crowds. They had walked and talked with Jesus. And they had been with Him. They had seen Him preach and do miracles, saw His compassion and His love and His willingness to lay down His life on the cross. I love to say this. The boldest man who ever lived was Jesus Christ. The boldest man who ever lived. He faced death and He never flinched one time. He willingly laid down His life. Did you know this? Most of y'all do, but there be some that don't. They did not have to drag Jesus Christ kicking and screaming to the cross. They didn't have to drag Him. He said he laid down himself. He said, here's my hands, put the nails in it. Here's my feet. Go ahead, put the nails in it. He gave them His back. They lashed Him on the back. He never flinched one time. He never thought about turning around. He never thought about coming down from the cross. The boldest man who ever lived. You just read Matthew chapter 23, where Jesus Christ stood in front of religious Pharisees and hypocrites, and He called them out. And He said, you bunch of Pharisees, you hypocrites. I mean, a bold man, a bold preacher, wasn't afraid of anything. When He was praying in the Garden of Gethsemane, in John chapter number 18, several hundred, I don't know how many soldiers, Roman soldiers came to get Him, led by Judas Iscariot. They came to get Him. You know what Jesus did? He didn't run and hide. They said, we're looking for Jesus. You know what He did? He said, I'm here. I'm right here. Go ahead and do what you're going to do. See, the boldest man who ever lived. You know why? He had a relationship with His Father. He said, Him and His Father, we're one. We are one, you see. Of course, He's God Himself, you see. He's God in the flesh. Bold? Yeah, He's bold. I don't like these little, when they show pictures of Jesus, nobody knows what He looks like, but I've got an idea. But I'll guarantee you, He wasn't a wimp. He wasn't a wimp. He was a real man. He was a man's man. He was a man's man. See, you want to follow somebody? You want to follow somebody who's a perfect example of manhood or anything else? Follow Jesus. Amen. Follow Jesus, you see. The power of their relationship. They had a relationship with Jesus Christ. They had been with Him. They had been with Jesus, and these people were astounded. They took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. How can you be bold, and how were they bold? Number four, it's the power of determination. The power of their determination. Look in verse number 19 and 20. It says, but Peter and John answered and said unto them, let me back up just a minute. They threatened them in verse number 17 and 18. They threatened them and said, we don't want you talking anymore in this name. We don't want you preaching anymore. And so they threatened them. They threatened them with bodily harm. You know, we're going to do you hurt if you talk anymore. If we hear you preaching anymore about this Jesus Christ, talking about the resurrection and all that stuff, we're going to do you hurt. So they threatened them. And verse number 19 said, and Peter and John answered and said unto them, whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, judge you. Here's their determination in verse 20. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. They said, we can't help ourselves. We've got to speak. Here's the thing, folks. They were determined to tell what they had seen and heard. You and I must be determined to serve God and to live for the Lord. There is increased, if you're saved here today and you are a serious Christian, there is increased opposition to everything Christian wherever you go. Increased opposition. There are more people who are radical in their opposition to anything that is biblical or to anything that is traditional. Opposition. I've been saved for 49 years. This year. It is much, I guess you would say, harder to try to speak to people, try to find anyone who is interested in the things of God than it was, you know, even 20 years ago. It's a lot harder today. There is much more opposition. And we go knocking on doors and plan to do that some more, talking to people, inviting people, and try to be kind and invite them to church. And if we get an opportunity, we witness to people. Every once in a while, we find somebody that's interested. Every once in a while. I hope y'all don't mind me mention a few names. I don't think they'll mind, but this little lady sitting back here, Mary. Some of our folks ran across Mary. I believe it was Brother John and maybe some who was with you. And it was, you know, to have Mary, it's worth all the work, isn't it? It's worth all the work having Mary. And we found this young man over here, Zimri. We found him. And it's a blessing to be able to just have a little tiny part in somebody's life, you see. So you have to be determined. You have to be determined that you're going to follow Jesus, that you're going to serve the Lord. Because there's lots of opposition. And it's probably not going to get any better, folks. Probably not going to get any better. It's probably going to get worse. Let me ask you something. The first thing that has to happen to you, you've got to be saved. Jesus died for you on the cross. He was buried and raised from the dead. And you must believe that. Believe that He died for your sins. And then accept Him as your Savior. Back there, whenever I got saved, I lived at 3006 30th Street in Lubbock, Texas. And an old preacher by the name of T.H. Mayfield come to my house. My wife had went to church by herself. And he came by my house on Sunday afternoon. We lived in a one-room house. And when I mean one room, I mean like a garage apartment. And that's all it was one room. We had no children. We'd been married for, three or four years. At least four years. And this old preacher told me about the Lord. And you know what? All I did was say, yes, I'll accept Jesus as my Savior. And I got saved then. I don't deserve eternal life, but folks, it's free. It's a gift. And it's in a person. It's in Jesus Christ. Put your faith in Jesus. The object of your faith must be a person, Jesus Christ. And He will save you and give you eternal life. It is called in the Bible the gift of God. He died so that every man, every woman, boy and girl, if they will trust Him, you trust Him as your Savior, can be saved, can have eternal life. That's for you. Then you can be bold. Christians, how are you? Are you bold? You can have the boldness by being filled with the Spirit, by having the right message, having a relationship with God, and being determined to live for the Lord. Amen. Let's bow our heads, please, for just a moment.